Hi, I'm Henry Ranga here with Steve Elvia, and welcome back.
Welcome.
So we're going to talk about academic literacy
yes.
today.
And we want to start off with a couple of verses. Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth."
So, Henry, why did we start with those verses?
Well, academics, the Word.
The Word.
The Word.
In the beginning, God said, he said a word, and things came into existence.
Right.
And then God's Son is called the Word.
The Word.
God's Word of love to us. The Word became flesh. And in some ways, that's what studying is really all about. Words are not just words. They stand for real things.
Right. I mean, I even think about this. I mean, there was language before the creation of our earth.
Yeah. Right.
And when Adam and Eve first spoke language to each other, it was a pre-existing order of words that was already there before they were even created and put into a garden.
Right. So, the word is an incredibly deep and rich thing. And we just want to share a little bit, because you'll be studying words. Words are going to make a difference. The Word of God. And then the Word of God, as it becomes real in our lives, it becomes flesh. It
right.
becomes something that makes
the gospel.
The gospel.
I mean, in the end,
the good
the
news.
Word is personified. That's yes. what the early church writers talked about. Logos, they even said.
Right.
The Word was personified in a person.
So
only God, fully man.
So academic studying is really about it's about the Word.
Wow. That's interesting.
All right. Moving on. Okay. So what is academic? We're talking about academic literacy. So what is academic?
Well, academic is used to describe work or school, college, university, a place that places emphasis on studying and reasoning rather than on practical or technical skills. Now, that is a lot of words. So I can just imagine some of you come in saying, "I have not been in school for a long time, and I'm already want to turn my back and go the other way just listening to what academic is." What does this have to do with ministry training?
Well, it's academic, and that's what scares people, because it is a study of things. It's not necessarily a hands-on thing. When you go to a trade school, for example, you're learning how to weld or you're learning plumbing.
Right.
Here, you might be learning plumbing and you might be learning a trade, but it's with words.
But that doesn't feel, if I'm at a trade school learning the skill, it doesn't feel necessarily academic, but I know there are buzzwords and so forth.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel that way.
Right. You know, and at Christian Leaders Ministries here, we at the college here, we want to be practical.
Right.
It doesn't mean we're not going to be practical.
Okay.
But as you begin your studies, you're going to be learning, you know, reasoning. There'll be
right.
arguments, and
I
you
think.
Have to follow the logic of a presentation.
Right. Okay.
All right. So let's. What is literacy then?
Literacy.
We're talking about academic literacy.
Literacy. Okay. So literacy is the ability to identify, understand, interpret, create, communicate, and compute using printed and written materials associated with varying contexts. Now, okay, so I'm going to have some of my coffee in my Christian Leadership or Christian Leaders Institute coffee cup to go here, because that is like heavy stuff.
It is. And, you know, again, this is what scares people about coming back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of you went to grade school, you went to high school.
Right.
Some of you may have gone to college or university. But many of you are just coming back after many years,
right.
and and all of a sudden you have to start listening to lectures. There will be reading material, and then you have to hold on to it, and you have to take a quiz or a test. And so this is all part of that process, and maybe in the beginning it will be sort of a difficult thing for you, but we guarantee that we make these presentations in a way that people can understand. We try to make it simple. Logically follows one thing to another. But there are some things that we want to share in this little lecture that may help you along the way. So there's basic genres of communication.
Okay, genre. So what does this to do with academics?
Well, because you'll be hearing different kinds of lectures, you'll be reading different things, and to know what you're reading. For example, the Bible is filled with a lot of genres.
Okay.
There's history books, there's poetic books, there's the letters of Paul. So when you're reading a letter of Paul for 1st or 2nd Corinthians, for example, to understand that this is a letter.
Right.
It's not a history. Right. It's not poetry.
Okay.
It's a letter, and now you know that you have to understand something about who Paul is writing to.
Right, gotcha.
And what the context is. Or if you're reading the book of Proverbs.
Right.
That's a whole different kind
of wisdom literature.
Right, that's a whole different genre. Or if you're reading the prophets.
Right.
A lot of times people struggle with the prophets because they want it to read like history.
Right.
Well, it's not history.
So what you're saying in ministry training, it's important that we just don't open the Bible up. I mean, we've seen people do that. They open the Bible up. They put their finger down on a word or one verse. They read it, and then they think, oh, God is telling them to do something. But they're not even understanding the genre. They're not understanding the context.
Right.
And that can be very dangerous. And when you are dealing with the souls of men and women, it is important as a minister that you take that seriously and sincerely, that you want to rightly divide the word of truth.
Right. So then, and that's the word of God, but in some ways you're doing the same thing with a lecture.
Ah.
Or with what you're reading.
So you're carefully listening and learning how to learn.
If you can identify, is this, now the guy is telling a story, but why is he telling a story?
Okay.
And so we're going to look at some of the basic kinds of communication out there that you can then identify.
So what happens if someone is just starting academics again, studying training? This does feel a little overwhelming. Is this going to be hard to get through?
You know, just like anything, when you start out, like I remember taking history as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's dates, and I could not keep it all straight.
I remember that.
And I had no sense of history.
It was overwhelming, honestly.
It was.
Yeah.
But over time, as you get into it, all of a sudden the dates start clicking in and you start getting a feel for this era or that era, and it starts making sense. So it might be a little hard at first.
Okay.
But over time, you'll catch on and you probably won't even have to think about all the things that we're going to talk about.
So all these genres become second nature.
Yes.
Like it becomes part of your language, your words.
Right. So we'll go over these things, and I think even going over these things, hopefully you'll will put your minds at ease.
Okay, and you'll actually start making sense out of when you read the newspaper or on the internet. You'll notice there's different types of genres being talked about.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So one genre is just information.
Information.
So someone is just telling you about things.
Right.
And they're not trying to motivate you. They're not trying to persuade you about anything. Right now, in some ways, we're giving you information.
Right.
We're not, there's no argument that,
you
know, this, then this, and because of that, you should do this.
Right.
We're just trying to inform you of some things. That's the most basic kind of genre of communication. It's also the most, probably the least interesting.
Right.
Because, you know, either people are interested in the information or they're not.
Right.
And so sometimes in the lectures, people will just be telling you information about the Bible. They're not trying to motivate you towards anything.
or you've taken a gen ed class, if you want to go to a college program, get through a college program. Sometimes it's just information you need to learn,
right,
or you can't get the degree.
Right. Like how to use our site and how to click on a thing, how to take a quiz, and the rules of the quiz.
Right. So whether it's you using the website or taking certain classes, some information is just plain information.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Then there's how-to kinds of communication. So now someone is explaining how you do something. A lot of people use YouTube like that. They need to fix something.
Right.
So there's somebody that put a video on YouTube that says, this is how you fix something.
So it includes information, like how to use the site, but now we're giving you more clues on how navigate the guidance and credential panel.
Right.
So now we're teaching you more.
Right. And generally, a how-to thing is more interesting than information because you are motivated to do something and you don't know how to do it.
Right.
And so now you click on this thing that shows you this is how it works.
So we have like skills classes here at Christian Leaders College classes that just help you.
Yeah, how to preach a sermon.
Right. Okay.
So within that class on making a sermon, there's information. Here's the different kinds of sermons.
Right,
there's exegetical, there's topical, there's doctrinal. But then how does one do the sermon? Where do you start?
Right.
What's the goal? What are you
how
trying to do?
How to be a life coach.
Right.
Not just the information about a life coach. How to do it.
Okay. Number three, some communication is just to encourage.
Right.
In some ways, we're trying to do a little bit of that with you when we're talking about how it might be difficult at first, but you can do it.
Yes.
If you keep at it, people will succeed. We've had people all over the world, different countries, nations, people that have English as a second language, and they all succeed.
Right.
So you will too.
Yes.
So that kind of communication, I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm not trying to teach you anything.
Notice the difference. Now it's like in the sense we're talking to you, your soul, your wanter. You can do it.
Yeah. We're a coach encouraging.
Right.
We're not teaching you things. We're not giving you information. There's no how-to, but it's encouragement. So sometimes, for example, a sermon might be that.
Right.
It might have all this information, but the goal at the end of the day is to encourage you to hang in there. You know, life is hard, but God is good, and His purpose will be carried out in your life. So that's encouragement.
So the encouragement genre could also be insights. So combining information with insight. An example. So Jesus sends out the 72, and then they go out there, and then they come back and report what happened. They report how it went, how to.
Right.
And then Jesus encourages them by saying, don't fall in love with the results that demons submit to you, but know that your name is in the book of life. It's your walk with God. It's your eternity that matters. So that's genre of encouragement.
Right.
Even taking one and two along with it.
Right. By the way, as we're talking about these basic kinds of genre and communication to help you with your studies, these exact same things are also helpful as you're trying to communicate the gospel. I mean, you're into this because you want to do ministry.
Yeah.
And understanding these things. What am I doing with this sermon? A lot of sermons are all over the place because the person preaching doesn't know whether he's just giving information, how to, or encouragement, or whatever it might be.
Right.
And so then people walk away going, it was an interesting sermon, but I don't know what the goal was.
Right. Well, and that's where, again, you saw Jesus using information, how to, and encouragement with a powerful point of, take heart that your name is with God in heaven.
Right.
Okay. Powerful encouragement.
Right. So sometimes the whole goal of the communication is comfort. Like people are hurting, and then you communicate something that comfort. The word comfort comes from Latin with fortress, with strength. So I'm trying to give you strength because you're feeling weak.
Right.
So a lot of times,
how is that different than encouragement? So encourage, comfort, they seem similar to me.
Well, encouragement, a person might not necessarily be struggling with anything. They're just
like more coaching type of.
Yeah, like, okay. You know, on a sport team, you might not be doing something poor, but come on, we can do this.
Right.
We can.
Right.
Now, if in the first half the other team was slaughtering you, now we need a little comfort.
Right.
So comfort is, it's close, it's like encouragement, but it's encouragement when you're down.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right, so number five, challenge.
Hmm.
Sometimes the goal of a sermon or a lecture that you're listening to is to challenge you towards something.
Right.
So we're not just giving you information. We're not just telling you how to do something. We might be encouraging you a little bit, or maybe there's a little bit of comfort, but my goal is to challenge you. You're here, and I am challenging you to go to here.
In a lot of ways, in the Bible, we see it in the prophetic literature.
Yes.
So they have prophets, and in the New Testament, you'll see the Apostle Paul talking prophetic. Jesus,
yeah.
You're talking prophetic. You know, things like, you know, the gospel must be preached to all the world before I come back. You know,
that
the Son of Man comes back. Well,
there's
a prophetic challenge. Go, make disciples out of all nations.
Right. So the rich young ruler comes to Jesus.
Yes.
And what he wanted was encouragement. He wanted a pat on the back. But what did Jesus say to him? Go sell all that you have and follow
that's
me.
Prophetic.
It's very challenging.
Yes.
Right? He was looking for something else, but what Jesus wanted to do is give him a challenge. Other times, Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, there's a challenge and a comfort thing going because Jesus was meeting with the tax collectors and the sinners, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were all in the same crowd.
Right.
And so he tells a story where he encourages, lifts up the down and outers, sinners.
Yeah.
You know, every person is worth it. You know,
right.
The Father is waiting with open arms for everyone. But then the challenge to the older son was the challenge to the teachers of the law. Are you going to come in? Are you going to let go of your anger? Are you going to join the party? Or are you going to sit on the outside? And Jesus was challenging them to, you know, to join the party.
So in a lot of ways, as we're talking about this, you can see how a sermon later on in ministry or an encouragement or a sharing your own testimony and leading someone to the Lord, all of these genres and studying the genres and understanding the difference is very important.
Yes, because again, what's your goal with the talk that you want to give? What's the goal of your testimony? What's the goal of your sermon? What's the goal of that ministry discussion you have with someone that you're trying to help?
Right.
What do they need?
Right.
Do they need encouragement? Do they need comfort? Do they need challenge? Do they need information?
Yeah.
What do they need?
That's pretty awesome.
All right. Number six, persuasion.
Okay. So now we're talking into leadership.
Right. Because persuasion is, you are here, and I'm trying to persuade you to go here.
Yes.
So anything to do with growth has to do with persuasion. Evangelism. What is evangelism? You're not a believer, and I'm trying to persuade you to give your life to Christ.
Right.
What is discipleship? Discipleship is you're here, and I'm trying to persuade you to grow as a disciple of Christ, whatever that might be. It might be your marriage. It might be your family life. It might be your witness. It might be your trust of God. So persuasion is probably so when you're listening to a lecture, you have to understand, well, what's this guy doing? Is he trying to persuade me about something?
Right.
Is he trying to challenge me? Is he trying to comfort me? Is he encouraging me?
Right.
What is he trying to do? Because if you know what the author or the speaker or whatever you're reading, what they're trying to do, then you can follow it through. If you're confused about what the author is trying to do, then you're sort of lost as to what's going on.
I used to struggle with like human persuasion, and then God works in someone's heart. And I used to think, well, I don't really have to be that persuasive. It's up to God. And then I realized that the Apostle Paul is very persuasive, and God is working in hearts. And then I've reflected over 40 years now in ministry, is that our goal is to understand these genres, be honestly persuasive, not manipulative,
right.
And even with that, God uses that. So he wants us to understand what it means to be persuasive, but also understand that only he changes the heart.
Right, right.
So it's like a both and situation. You can't force someone
right.
to do what they don't want to do.
Right.
But we still must be informative. Yes. We must understand how to do
yes.
things.
Yes.
We must be encouraging. We must be comforting, challenging,
yes.
and persuasive. And
yes.
his work
right.
works
right.
its work.
And the other reason why this is so important is because the devil and everyone connected to the devil, they use these same things too.
Right, they do.
Right?
Right.
So someone is saying some encouraging words to you, and you think they're encouraging you, but really what they're trying to do is persuade you.
Right.
Of
so
a different
discernment,
mindset.
Discernment is in there
yes.
too. All of
so
that.
Understand, you know, so sometimes you're with a salesman, and he's being very flattering,
yes.
and he's talking about a lot of different things. He's informing
right.
you, he's encouraging you, he might be comforting you, but his goal is to persuade you to do something, and so the devil uses that too.
Right.
So
right.
we have to be aware.
Was that one passage where Jesus had used worldly wealth to influence or make friends, and when they were gone, it's a heavy passage.
Right.
But what it's basically saying is be aware.
Yes.
Get involved. Learn that your words matter.
Yes.
In ministry, your words matter.
Right. All right. So adding a little spice to communication. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So,
there's
informing, there's persuading, there's comforting, there's encouraging, but then there's how you sort of do that
in
a way
vehicle.
That connects to people.
It's like the
yes.
vehicle of communication.
Yes.
Is that way.
Okay. So narrative. Narrative is stories.
Right.
Telling a story. Jesus, you know, almost most of what he said had to do with telling a story.
Okay.
You know, instead of just saying God loves you, he told the story of a son and a father, and the son runs off, and then the son has a problem, he comes back. And what Jesus does is he paints a picture through the narrative. I think the example of King David.
Okay.
So, you know, he has this affair with Bathsheba.
Yep.
And God could have come to David and said, hey, that's a sin.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then he has Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed. But instead, he sends the prophet Nathan. And Nathan tells a story.
Wow.
You know, about a sheep and a rich guy that has all kinds of things and a poor guy that has one little lamb. And the rich guy has a visitor. And instead of taking one of his lambs, he takes the one lamb of the poor guy and he kills the lamb, prepares the meal, and he gives it to the visitor. And then David gets all upset. What kind of person could possibly do that? And then Nathan looks at him and says, you're the one who does that. Because you took something that was not yours.
Right.
And then what does David do? He weeps. He's convicted.
Right.
Why? Because he could live into the story not knowing that it was about him.
Right.
And that's what stories do. Stories sort of get under the radar of our defenses. A lot of times we want to convince somebody of something. But a story gets under the radar of all the defenses and all the justifications. People have justifications
right.
for everything that they do. But a story connects to us,
you know,
connects into our hearts.
In many ways, stories are often all of our default system. When we communicate, we often communicate with stories constantly. You know, I went over the store and guess who I met today? So you talk,
right.
you know what, out of that, guess who I met today, we're going to do something on Saturday night.
Right.
So the story compelled, I met Bob and Liz. Oh, hey, how about doing something with them on Saturday night?
Right.
But it actually is a form of communication in daily life.
Right.
But that is, in the Bible, that is a mode, a vehicle of communications, and story is its own thing.
Right. Okay, metaphor. All right, what is a metaphor?
A metaphor.
Well, you know, you and I love metaphors.
Oh, we do. We're like metaphor masters.
Yes.
We do.
Right.
A metaphor is a picture, a whole system within a picture, or it's almost like a story condensed in, you know, something that, you know, if I say, if we have our metaphors, you know, like we'll say things like, you know, the first, you know, oh, it's like our trip to California. You know, early in our ministry, we, you know, we would use like John Belushi, and you remember that?
It was so, like from the movie, right?
The movie, right.
We're using something, or, right. You know, I wrote a book about the Titanic.
Yeah.
And I used the Titanic as an illustration of the church. Right. Now, the church can be like a cruise ship.
Right.
Or the church can be like a lifeboat.
Right.
A metaphor of the church being a lifeboat saving people who are drowning in the icy cold waters.
Right.
Is a picture, it's a made up story in some ways.
Yeah.
That illustrates something else.
In fact, we, you know, even use the word "is." The church is a lifeboat.
Yes.
And then everything a lifeboat is, the church is somehow that.
Right. So why do we use metaphors? We use metaphors because people get used to, you know, like I am so hungry, I could eat a horse.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I'm a horse eater.
Yeah, and it's like, what? But I think originally people were saying, you know, I'm really hungry.
I eat my mode of transportation. I'm that hungry.
Yeah. And I'm really hungry, but soon we get used to that and it doesn't mean anything. So
right.
Then someone comes along and makes a metaphor and says, I'm so hungry I can eat a horse.
Right.
What? That don't make any sense. All of a sudden it makes you pause
right. And
think about the real thing in a different light.
Right.
So
right.
metaphors in a way are like a narrative. You're telling a story that relates to something else.
Right.
In some ways, communion, what is it?
Right.
Jesus said, this, he holds up a piece of bread, this is my body. Well, it's a piece of bread.
Right.
But
it's more than a piece of bread.
It's like tangible, right?
It's
we're still
a story.
We're still doing communion 2,000 years later. We don't have Jesus right here. We don't have him physically here. But we do in this metaphor.
Right.
Baptism is water. And the picture is water washes the dirt off of you.
Yeah.
And we can see that. We can touch it. And it stands for something we can't see.
Right.
And we can't touch.
And then you see how the role of the Holy Spirit is like, so we say communion, it's a metaphor, but the presence of God is there.
Right.
So it's a metaphor with the presence of God.
Right.
Powerful. But it also adds spice to communication.
Yes. All right. Assimilate.
I just know the difference between metaphor and simile is definitely the word like.
Yes. Simile is like similar.
Similar.
Okay.
So this is similar to that.
So this is like that.
Okay.
So why do we do that?
Well, it kind of helps us get to meaning quicker if we know that the internet is sort of like the printing press in that it opens a lot of communication. Just like it did 500 years ago, the internet opens it up today.
Right.
Well, very similar, two tangible things.
You know, the movie Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Life is
like a box of chocolate. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
It's not a metaphor, a box of chocolates.
Life is kind of like this same situation where you don't know what you get. Now you could just say, life is this thing that you don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
But instead, there's this picture of a box of chocolates, and each one is covered with chocolate, but inside there's something different with each one of them.
Right.
And we all can relate to that.
Right, right.
We get it, we see it, and so now all of a sudden we start thinking about, life is kind of like that.
Right.
And it helps me think about life.
Right.
Even though life is not chocolates.
Well, you know, we have our minister hat.
Yes.
You know, in a lot of things, we think of minister as a metaphor, but also we think of, you know, all of our roles are like a minister.
Right.
Okay, so when we have this hat, it doesn't just mean that you are a minister. We also think of the role of our life like a minister. We are bringing Christ to others.
We're doing ministry.
Yes.
And so we are all like a minister.
Right. Right.
Because what does a minister do? He brings the gospel physically, with words, deeds, any way that he can.
Right.
And that's what we all do.
Right, exactly.
All right. So, illustration.
Okay.
Illustration.
Well, sometimes we don't, like, understand something, and we're trying to get to its meaning.
Yeah.
But if there's an illustration that goes along with it, then we can understand it.
Right. In a way, all these are quite similar. Illustration is like a metaphor.
Yeah.
It's like saying like. We often need a picture of something to understand it.
Okay.
So a lot of times, like the Apostle Paul had a lot of arguments, and he was very persuasive.
Yeah.
He was like a lawyer.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of people, as they read through Paul, they're like, I have no idea what he's talking about. Because it's hard. But once in a while, Paul would say, well, it's like a boxer.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not just boxing around. I'm not just shadow boxing.
Right.
I am doing something really important.
Right.
Or he'll say, the world competes to get a crown that doesn't last.
Right.
So, okay, I can see that. Yeah, we work a lot of times for things that don't last.
Right.
But I work for something that will last.
Right.
So that picture of sports and people working hard and then they get a medal or they get a trophy. Okay, we can see that.
Right.
But then Paul takes that and he goes, okay, but you can see how temporary that is.
Right.
Right. At the end of the day, you have a medal.
Right.
But what if we use the same passion that we do to earn that little medal that doesn't last towards the things that last?
Yeah. Jesus, in his parables, would often use, you know, there was a rich man who died.
Yes.
And a poor man.
Yes.
And they both,
you
know, Lazarus and, you know, the rich man. You know,
there's
an illustration. But now it gets into metaphor. It's almost like an illustrative metaphor.
Yes.
In the end, it comes to this, like, you know, things mixed together, but it's clearly an illustration.
Right. Or, you know, he sees the sower, you know, sowing seeds, and he starts talking about the word of God like the seed.
Right.
And so, see, we can see the different, you know, one of the seeds falls on the hard ground.
Yeah.
One of the seeds falls where for the weeds that choke it out. And then some falls on the good. And we can picture all of those things. And now that's easy to relate to. And now we can relate it to people.
Oh, yeah.
There are people where the word of God comes to them and then stuff happens. They were excited.
Right.
And then stuff happens and all of a sudden they stop going to church.
Right.
But the picture of the agricultural thing that we can readily see helps us see something maybe a little more complex.
And then we create a metaphor. You are a sower.
Yes.
So we communicate. We made our illustrations to show where it is. You are a sower.
Right. You are the lifeboat in a sea where people are drowning.
Yes. You are a minister.
Right.
Now.
Okay, number five. Compare and or contrast. This is a form of communication used all the time. So this is the bad way to go.
Right.
And then in contrast, this might be the good way to go.
Right, okay.
So the story of Elijah, you could separate that story into the downward spiral. So he runs, he's hungry, he's depressed.
Right.
The angel comes and says, here's some food, eat the food.
Right.
He's running away. I'm the only one. Everyone's trying to kill me. God, your program is no good. Okay, so there's the one side.
Yeah.
Okay, but as he's running away, where does he go? He goes to where it all started. He goes to the mountain of God, where God started the whole program, Ten Commandments, purpose.
Yeah.
We're going towards something that's going to change the world.
Right.
So God brings him back to that place.
Right.
And then he speaks in a soft, still voice. And then he doesn't even say, he doesn't even answer any of Elijah's problems. He just says, okay, you know what? I got things for you to do. I want you to go back. You got to do anoint this guy, the king.
Right,
and then, oh, and by the way, there's 7,000 prophets that haven't bent the knee. So in that picture, there's the negative, the south, how we give up, how we stop eating, how we're tired, how we listen to what people say. And then on the other side, there's what God does about it, and you know, holding on to God, trusting God, and just, you know, working towards God's kingdom. It's often communication is helpful to see those two sides. There's the sin, and then there's the salvation.
Yeah. The law, there's grace.
Right. And to understand grace,
right,
you have to understand the law.
Right.
Because if there's no law, there's no thing that I've gone against, then I don't need grace.
Right. Right.
So when people just preach grace, it's all grace. Everything is grace. Yeah. Everything is grace. Eventually people go, well, what do I need grace for?
Right.
Oh, there's law.
There's hell. There's heaven.
Yes.
I mean, there's two contrasting, there's a spiritual warfare.
Right.
So as a minister, as you are learning your ministry training, you will become self-aware of these contrasts.
Right. And in the presentations, often the presenter of a class that you are looking at, they'll look at the downside of something, and then in contrast, the other side, or the worldly side of something. And now let's look and see what the Bible has to say about it. Because often these things are against one another. And in some ways, we understand life by contrasting things. For example, you see us sitting here,
right,
and if we were sitting here with a red background, we would disappear because
right.
we both have a red shirt.
Right.
But because we have a red shirt against a brown background, you go, okay, I can see two different things.
Right.
And that's the way it is with everything, that we see something against something else.
And in communication, I mean, you'll even notice when you're communicating with your spouse, just that communication, any point, you know, my wife might chime in, she would see it this way, then you'd see it this way, then you're with another couple, they would see it this way, and there would be all this compare and contrasting going on differently than if you're alone.
Yes. In some ways, this is what makes growth happen.
Yeah.
Right? Without this, if you and I thought exactly the same thing and everything, we have no need to talk to each other.
No. Well, what happens is sometimes because of our sinful nature, compare and contrast becomes conflict.
Yes.
It's not appreciated.
No.
And so then chaos is like overwhelms everything because compare and contrast is no longer respected.
Right, right. So, all right. So one more, I think. Number six, problem solving.
Okay.
Problem solving, I think, is the most interesting communication.
Why do you say that?
Well, for example, you know, I have to come here to the studio today, and then, you know, I get ready, I have my breakfast, and then, oh, now I got to find my car keys.
Right.
Now,
okay.
If I know where they are, I just pick them up. I don't think about a thing.
Right.
Okay. But let's say I can't find them.
Right.
I may have been sleepy, but all of a sudden, when you can't find your car keys, you're motivated, and now you're energized, and you're looking here and you're looking there. You might be somewhat annoyed, but you're like, I got to solve this problem.
Right.
You may have your whole day planned, and all of a sudden your plumbing is leaking all over the place.
Right.
Guess what? All hands are on deck because you have to solve this problem. When you have a problem, you become incredibly motivated. And this is true with communication.
Yeah.
If you just start talking, hey, you know, today we're just going to talk about some stuff. Well, they can decide, I don't know, am I going to listen? What's the point of my life? I have no idea where this is going.
Right.
But if you start out, does God love everyone?
Right.
Is God's love conditional?
Right.
Well, I don't know. I better listen to find out.
Yes. Let's dig into the Word
The Word. Or let's say, you know, I came and I said, okay, in this sermon today, we're going to look at whether something you're trying to do in your life is a good goal or an addiction.
Right.
How do you know that the thing that you're working really hard on is something good, you know, God-directed? Or when does it become an addiction that I'm so addicted to this thing, I'm making that an idol?
Right.
When is my thing a goal, or when is my thing an idol? Mm-hmm. And today, as we look at this passage, we might just find out. Okay, so now I got to listen, because right. you just made a problem that I want an answer to. And so now I'm willing to do the hard work of exegesis and listening and whatever it takes. So,
right. You know, and in ministry, when we identify these problems and then get insights as to how to solve the problems, I'll give you an example. You're going to find out about what we call the seven connections. And I'm not going to talk much about them, but it's all about the habits of talking to God, listening to God, and doing it repeatedly. And you'll find out more. So one of the things that it's a problem, because we all want to have a devotional life.
Yeah.
So in this class, you'll find out about the connections. We have this connection cross. And here's an issue where we know we have a problem, and we need to actually right. have habits of walking with God. And often we fail, and we don't know, we hit a wall.
Right.
So then what we do is we help ourselves
right.
to try to figure that out.
Right.
So what helps us, my wife and I, is to remember to open the Word of God and to pray. Now, it seems like, you know, you're in ministry, you should do that. Yes, we should. But it's still a problem staying focused
right,
that way.
Right, right. So just understanding that that's a problem.
Yes.
So we just brought it up to you, and you might have this problem. You
right.
love God, you want to learn about God, but you don't. How often do you actually read the Bible and pray?
Right.
Actually connect. So now that I bring this problem to you, and by the way, we have a solution for you.
Yes.
We have
yes.
a solution for
yes.
you. Now, are you interested?
Right.
See, you are
as a minister, you share solutions.
Right. So because you're interested in solving this problem, then you will listen. You'll
right.
go on to the next lecture.
Yes,
you're
yes.
willing to take the next
yes,
class.
Yes.
But if you don't know that you have a problem,
right.
then you don't do anything.
Right.
And so that's why communication is so powerful
yes.
when you can identify a problem that most people have and then offer to try to solve it.
Exactly. Well, is there anything else? I am very curious. Oh, there is another one.
Treasure hunting.
Oh, now we're getting into some fun here.
Treasure hunting.
So what's treasure hunting? What is it, Steve? Treasure hunting.
A lot of times when I think of my sermon, I love to take people on a treasure hunt. So, for example, Jesus said, I thirst.
Right.
Two words. I
right.
thirst. No.
Right.
Why? How does that relate to us? So in a sermon, it'd be like, okay, so let's try to figure out what this means. What
right.
does it mean?
Right.
Let's look at the surrounding context. Well, you know, Jesus said, I thirst, and then they raised this wine vinegar. Is that related to communion?
Right.
I don't know. Let's look at the verses that talk about that. Is it related to thirst? You know, King David said, as the deer thirsts for streams of water, so my soul
right.
thirsts for... Is that what's going on?
Right.
Or is it... And you start looking at all the different words, let's go on a journey. There's some gold here.
Right.
But we don't know where it is.
Right.
So I take you down this trail. Oh, that wasn't that good. I take you down this trail. And then we look at something in the Psalms. And then we look at something in the prophets. And finally we get to Exodus 12. Okay? There's one word where Jesus says, I thirst. They put a sponge of wine vinegar, and they stuck it on what? A stick, right? But in the text, it tells us what kind of stick. It says a stalk of
hyssop.
Okay, now why?
Ooh,
I mean, who cares, up. Right? It could be on a pine stick, an oak stick. I mean, what difference does it make?
Why is it?
Who cares, right? When you're roasting hot dogs, you just put it on a stick. Here's what it is. But the text is very specific.
Yes.
A stalk of hyssop.
Ooh.
So now if you look up the word hyssop, it's in the Psalms, it's here, it's
speak
there.
Speak it, brother.
But eventually you get to Exodus 12. Where the last plague, the angel of death, is going to go through the Egyptian camp and the Israelite camp. And the only way they can be saved is that a lamb must be slaughtered, and the blood of that lamb must be put on the door frames of the houses with a stalk of
hyssop.
Okay. So what is Jesus doing here? He's referring, I am the Lamb of God. You see, now, I've taken you in 5 minutes. I was doing a sermon. I would stretch this out for 25 right. minutes, yeah. and we're digging a hole for the gold here. No, it's not there. Oh, it's right. not here. Let's keep looking. Is it? Are we going to find gold, or are we not right. going to find? No, right. people are on the edge of their seat.
Right.
Are we going to find gold, or aren't we? Right. I don't know. But I got to keep listening. Right? We got to keep digging. And then eventually, when you hit the gold,
right.
people are like, oh, wow, there's the connection. You see, that's a powerful way to communicate.
Right.
To take people on a journey instead of just sitting in your study, figuring it all out, and then coming and giving people the answer, why not take them on your journey of discovery?
Okay, so Steve, we're going to wrap this up in this presentation. I know next time we're going to talk about the importance of words. But in a lot of ways, let's pull this all together. So I'm starting ministry training.
Right.
I'm checking Christian Leaders Institute College Alliance out right now. Right. I'm like, I haven't been studying for a long time. I'm being introduced to different modes of communication, genre, styles, and everything like that. So what does this have to do with studying Bible survey? What does this have to do with studying, you know, ministry, theology, or if I'm in a college program, gen ed classes? In the end, is this essential as we're starting this whole journey?
Just understanding all these different genres are going to help you as you're doing the Bible survey.
Okay.
Right, it's okay. This is you're going to go. Oh, hey, this is history.
Right.
Or when a prophet says something,
this is a challenge.
A challenge, or it might be an illustration.
Oh, right, right.
Your sins, though they be like scarlet, will be white as snow. Okay, what is that?
Right.
That's like a simile. That's like a metaphor.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
you're identifying this picture. Now, why is this picture? Because it communicates in a more powerful, emotional way, and you're more aware of what's going on. More aware of what you're reading and what you're hearing, and then ultimately, you become more aware of how to communicate. These are like tools of powerful communication.
Gotcha. Okay.
So the more you know about these different tools, the more you're able to use the tool that's appropriate for what you want to do. And you're more, so in some ways, we're helping you start listening for these things.
Right.
But our ultimate goal is that you start using these different things to become a more powerful communicator.
Yeah, to be a minister.
Yes.
So until next time, we've enjoyed being with you, and you are a minister. Is that a metaphor?
Yes. Well, it can be literal and a minute.
Okay, very good. Okay. Till later, my friends.
Yes.